tell you, there's an excellent spirit in this place, and I want to acknowledge why. Thank God for preparation of worship leader, Mr. Phyllis Staggard. Thank God for the preparation of the mass choir led by our own sister Michael Burris. And I thank God and I acknowledge the fact that you came in here with a heart to praise and worship God. And see, that sets the atmosphere, that sets the table for God to do great and mighty things. And so when we come prepared, expecting God to do something because we hunger and thirst for Him, God fulfills our needs every time. Hallelujah. Before I get to the word, I would be remiss not to acknowledge a couple of special people in my life and what we're about to celebrate. Well, today is the birthday of my dear mother, Marva's mother by birth, Mrs. Gloria Marva Logan. And she's been such a blessing to me and to my family and to this church. Those red books entitled Prayer was by her leading me to that book, and we're able to enjoy that. And there are many other things. She encourages me in the word. And so I say by the Spirit of the Lord, happy birthday, Mom. May this day bless you. And then on tomorrow, Marva and I will celebrate 30 years of wedded bliss. Hallelujah. On this day, back in 1980, we took our wedding vows. And to Marva's credit, she hadn't kicked me out yet. So we thank God for that. And she's such a blessing to us and to our family. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to share. Now let's go before the word. You ready to hear the word?
Yes.
Are you really ready to hear the word of God?
Amen.
Because we have a word from the Lord in this place. So let's go before Him. Father in heaven, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we're honored, Lord, that you have ordained mortal men like myself and others to preach and teach your oracles by your spirit and in your power. And so, Lord, Walter has nothing to offer your people. But, Lord, the Holy Spirit working in Walter can do great and mighty things. And so, Father, I acknowledge the work of the Holy Spirit in me to preach and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I speak to any distractions, any demonic influences that will cause your people to have slumber and sleep and disinterest, not being able to hear, I break that power of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, and we quicken the ears, the heart, and the will to do according to your word in myself and your people under the sound of my voice. So, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the deep meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and declare these things. Amen.
Amen.
Beloved, if you have your Bibles and we have the occasion to project the words on the screen, I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, and I want to read that entire chapter. It's 29 verses. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 29, and don't get nervous. We're not going to speak to all those verses in the text. We're going to lift out one particular verse, but to set the stage for the message, I feel it would be good for us to hear and to get an understanding of the atmosphere and the heart of the Apostle Paul as he was writing this letter to the saints at Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Are you there?
Amen.
It's on the screen, so if you don't have it, feel free to look at the screen, and it will be from the King James Version that I have. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle, apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, here we go, Gene, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The word of God, beloved, the Apostle Paul writing this love letter to the church at Colossae, expressing not only his love for them, but his commendation of their love for one another and for their faith in God. And I too want to take that same position, that same mentality, that I want to encourage you, Christ Fellowship, and commend you to continue to love one another and to continue in the work that the Lord has given us by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to lift out one verse that the Lord put on my heart, because what he continues to do on these communion Sundays is to give me a word as it relates to the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and his significance to what it means to us in terms of how we can live, how we can walk in his power, how we can live and how we can walk in victory, and how we can live and how we can walk and appropriate the fullness of the blessings that God has for and in us. So, verse 20 of that passage we read, I'll read it again. Paul says, "And having peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." And so, beloved, for the next few moments, I want to talk about the blood of the cross. Can you say that with me? The blood of the cross. And last month we spoke on the subject of the precious blood of Jesus, and we lifted out the passage from 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, because it mentions in part that this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not only by water alone, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. He goes on to say, "And there are these three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one." And last time we tried to articulate the fact that it's the blood of Jesus working with the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to walk in victory, the Christian life that he has given unto us. The blood of Jesus that he shed on Calvary's cross. And the Bible tells us, according to the eternal Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that works within us, those of us who believe on his name. So the eternal blood, the ever-flowing blood, the ever-powerful blood is flowing in us by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we understand and recognize that truth, we can begin to understand and walk in the fact that, look, we have the blood of Jesus within us by faith. And it's appropriated by the power of the Spirit of the living God. The blood of Jesus that made Satan and his kingdom to put it to open shame. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us and casts away all dead works. The blood of Jesus that gives us the right to go boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and receive grace to help in our time of need. It's the blood of Jesus working in tandem with the Holy Spirit that gives us the right to be called and to walk as sons and daughters of the Most High God. But today, I want us to examine this one passage of Scripture when it talks about the blood of his cross. Because, see, the more we understand about what Jesus Christ did for us and appropriated for us by his blood and by his Spirit, the more we can walk in truth, the more we can walk in confidence, the more we can walk in the power that God intends for us to walk in. Because, as I said, he has given us everything that pertains unto life and unto godliness by his blood and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So we've exchanged the old man, we reckon him dead, and we've taken on the new man. And the new man has coursing within his body the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's you and I, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, except we doubt except our faith fail us, except we begin to lean to our own understanding and walk in our own power, we can live this victorious life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it starts with our mentality. It starts with our understanding. And it starts by having faith in the word of Almighty God. And so today, I want us to look at three things regarding the blood of his cross. I want us to look at the nature of the cross, the power of the cross, and finally, the love of the cross. Now, beloved, in this particular passage, Paul is talking about the fact that we, the believers, we have peace made perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that to him he reconciled all things. Now, once again, I want us to put our spiritual thinking caps on. Because when Jesus Christ shed his blood, that was not just a one-time event. That event was to cause us to also identify with him, cause us to understand that when we appropriate through faith and by obedience to his word, we have the same attributes that Christ had and has. And he wants us to walk in those things. And so when we take a look and examine carefully the blood of his cross, what we need to understand is that blood was not just a single event. That blood was shed for us, not only so that we might have reconciliation and redemption, not only that we might have power to live this Christian life and to do the greater works that Jesus Christ declared his body would do, but that we would do it all in a spirit of love. Why? Because the Bible tells us that God's kind of love never fails. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise his name. And so first, the nature of his cross. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear that he came into this world not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And the Bible goes on to tell us in another place that this decision was made even before the foundation of the world. And so when we look at the nature of the cross, it's not so much the fact that he had to carry that heavy cross, that tree, from the time they placed it on his shoulders through the Via Dolorosa to Golgotha and to be nailed to that cross. The decision for him to carry the cross was made in the portals of heaven. And the blood of his cross has to do more with his mentality, his attitude, than the physical act. The physical act was simply the manifestation of what he had already determined that he would do for us. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is that Jesus Christ instructed his disciples, and he was our example, that they would what? Deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow him. Yeah. Well, Jesus being our example from the foundation of the world had determined that his inner nature was to give himself for us. How did he give himself for us? The Bible says that he became like a servant. He humbled himself, being found in the likeness of man. He endured death, even the death of the cross. So what I'm trying to say to us, beloved, is that Jesus had determined in his own mind, by his own will, that he would be willing to sacrifice his heavenly authority. He would be willing to sacrifice his own will. He would be willing to be tempted at every point in the likeness of man. And he chose to be obedient and to say and to do only that which his Father instructed him to do. And it was his mentality that drove him to the cross. Now, what does that say to us? That same mentality, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The same mentality, if we're going to fulfill and receive receive and partake of the fullness of the blood of the cross of Christ, which I already explained to you, is a living blood. It's a spiritual way for us to manifest this Christian life. If we're going to have that same kind of power, we must decide that it's not going to be about our will.
Right.
It's got to be about God's will. It must be about us sacrificing our agendas, sacrificing our fleshly desires, sacrificing those things that please us the most. Why? So that we might be obedient and that our life might bring glory and praise and honor to God Almighty.
Amen.
And so when we talk about the nature of the blood of the cross, we're talking about it, spiritual attributes. And we're talking about the same spiritual attributes that you and I have access to if we will appropriate them by faith, if we're willing to read and study and meditate on his word so that we get understanding of what God requires of us, and then understand and know that God will back up his word.
Yeah.
And that's why I have us, and I'm going to have you do it again, say this, all things,
all things.
Work together.
For my good.
Because I love the Lord,
and I'm called
according to his purpose. You see, when we take on that mentality, nothing in this world can shake our faith, Chauncey. Nothing in this world, no circumstance, no situation can dissuade us or cause us to be separated from our God, because we know that all things will work together for our good. Even the bad things that we perceive in our mind, God has a plan for them. And that plan for them and for us is so that we will be conformed more into the image of his Christ, of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says to know him and the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. See, Paul understood that, look, there had to be some suffering. There had to be some trials and tribulations, but it was for his good. And it's for our good, because God is not going to allow anything to overtake us that we're unable to handle.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And so when our mentality is such that whatever God allows to happen to me in my life is for my good. I don't care what it is. And see, the problem with a lot of Christians, and each one of us are susceptible because I'm not judging anybody, but the problem is that we look at our circumstance, our situations, and too many of us look at our past and we see some things that happened to us, what was said to us, and we allow those things to affect our thinking. And God is saying, no, I have redeemed you. No, I have reclaimed you. No, I have given you power. I have given you authority. I have given you the ability to think the way I think and to do the things that I do. But you have to receive it by faith. Let me move on. So the nature of the cross is a mentality. It's about self-sacrifice. It's about giving your will and my will over to the Lord. It's about saying, God, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And when we do that, guess what? God, his power comes in and he allows us at every point to walk victorious over whatever it is we're going through in life. Okay, so the nature of the cross. Now, I want to deal with the power of the cross. Now, Jesus Christ had to come to do essentially two things. He had to break the power of sin in our lives, because the Bible tells us that we were once slaves to sin. Amen? In other words, we didn't have any way to extricate or to free ourselves from sin because of our nature. We're born in sin and we're shaping in iniquity. So Jesus Christ had to come to break the power of sin in our lives, but he also came to break the guilt of sin in our lives, because see, God being a righteous judge, he told the first Adam, look, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is that day that you shall surely die. God made a judgment and he set in place his law that, look, when you disobey me, Adam, you're going to bring death into the world. And the wages of sin is death. But Hallelujah. Thank God for the but. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so when we understand and know that Jesus came to break the power of sin, but also the guilt associated with it, and that he had to come in the likeness of men to be our high priest, to have all the temptations, all go through all the drama, go through all the relational issues that we have to go through. He had to do that, but yet without sin. He freed us from the power and then the guilt of sin, because when he offered his blood up on the throne room of God, God accepted that blood, and then he said, those who believe on my son's name, I'm going to issue the judgment, not guilty.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody ought to be excited about that today. I don't know about you, but hey, I blow it a lot of times. Still have a proclivity to blow it. Amen?
Amen.
Now don't look at me like you holier than thou. Hallelujah. Come on now. Hallelujah. But the thing is that Jesus Christ already paid the price. He already given us the judgment that God has accepted us in the beloved. And he has said not guilty by his blood. And so when we look at the power of the cross, Jesus Christ came that you and I might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. God had to sacrifice his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want to share this scripture with you that is taken from Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And it reads, Christ has redeemed us, there it is, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Exchange of a life for a life. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ redeemed us.
Yes.
He freed us from the power of sin and the guilt of sin. Hallelujah. So I want you to say that, and don't let nobody condemn you. Don't let nobody put a guilt trip on you in the name of Jesus. Now, if you sin, or if you, you know, do something to your brother or your sister that you know is right, go to them. Apologize. Ask for forgiveness. I'm not saying don't do that. But after you've done that, don't let that person hang that thing over your head. Too many of us are living in the guilt of the past. Someone is holding us hostage. And guess what? Only you or I can hold ourselves hostage, because Christ has freed us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Once you get out of jail, it's your choice whether to enter into the free world or to go back into prison. Too many of us are going back to the prison of sin and thinking in a human terms. And God is saying, no, I have freed you. My son has redeemed you. He has given you the ability to be free in Christ. So the power of the cross, he frees us from the power of sin and the guilt of sin. And then lastly, the power of the cross is that he has given us his love, the love of the cross. Jesus Christ died because he loved his Father first and foremost. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because he loved us, and because he desired for us not to live in bondage, that passage of scripture said, he having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. You see, it was took an attitude of love for him to go through the shame, go through the pain, go through the disassociation from his Father when he was on the cross, to go through the disrespect that he was given was because of his love that was born before he came into the world. When he was baptized by John and the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove, the Spirit of the Lord drove him in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. From the time that Jesus Christ began his public ministry, all the way through the time he found himself agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane and deciding, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He decided to go to the cross and to hang on the tree and to shed his blood. It was only by his love for you and I and his love and obedience for the Father that the cross is a symbol, the ultimate symbol of God's love for all mankind. And so when we celebrate the body and blood, when we see the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, it should quicken us and give us even a greater sensitivity of what Christ did for us and what Christ wants to do through us. He wants us to have the same mentality. He wants us to enjoy the same power and privileges and authority. And he wants us to walk in the same love, the love that he had for his Father, first and foremost, and his love for his fellow man. And that's why he said, there's only two commandments I give you, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You see, if we love God in that way, everything else is taken care of. Amen?
Amen.
And so the love of the cross has to do with our self-sacrifice, giving up our selfish agendas, looking toward the need of others greater than our own need, being obedient to understand and know that God has given us power. He's given us power to defeat every aspect of whatever temptation the enemy may send our way. And what I find that is not so much the enemy, it's the enemy in enemy. Hallelujah. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You know, we give Satan a lot of credit for things that we think and things we want to do. But the bottom line is if we love God enough, we would be willing to obey him. And we don't want to do anything to upset him. I was looking at Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony and the commentary of Jerry Rice, former wide receiver for San Francisco 49ers and later the Oakland Raiders. He said, look, when I put on that uniform, he says, I represented my father and my family, but most of all, it was my father. I didn't want to disappoint my father. He says, I didn't want to do anything that would bring shame unto his name. So I worked as hard as I could for as long as I could and tried to perfect my craft because I had my father in mind because I didn't want to disobey him or bring shame unto his name. What about our father? Do we love him enough that we will be obedient to him, recognizing that God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him? You see, the Christian life is not a set of do's and don'ts. It's a relationship with God. And when we understand and know the love of God truly, and we're willing to sacrifice what may seem to be inconvenient for us for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the gospel, that's when God can truly bless us. And that's when we can begin to see the manifestation of those things that be not as though they are. We can see the fact that God is raising up men, women to give unto our bosom. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. And we see the fact that no believer in God, though he be old, he would not see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why? Because of the love that Jesus Christ had for us in the nature of the cross, the power of the cross, and the love of the cross. Father in heaven, we bless you. And we thank you, Lord, for the blood of his cross, the blood that represents, Father God, the life of your Son that was imputed as life to those who believe on his name. And Lord, I pray that the spiritual attributes that Christ demonstrated before us and continues even now to intercede and pray that we walk in, that Father God, we would choose, because of our love for you, to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, as we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Lord, I ask your blessings over your word, Lord. You said it will not return void, and that it shall accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Father, let your word be a seed in each heart of those under the sound of my voice, that it might germinate, grow, and bear much fruit. Father, I thank you, and I bless you for this opportunity and privilege to see, Lord God, the ever-present, ever-powerful, living word do what it's intended to do. In Jesus' name.